Peace is the title of the sermon today. Our scripture text is in Numbers 6, 24, 26, and John 14 and 27. And we'll look at those scriptures in just a moment. Wonderful peace, but yet, let me share with you some headlines from around the world just in the last 18 months or so. The Daily Signal in late October 2021 reports, U.S. military is right there on the edge. Here's what's driving its marginal status. Did you hear that? Marginal status. It's right there on the edge. It could handle one major war for, we believe, a limited period of time, but it couldn't do anything other than that, said Dakota Wood, the lead editor of the Index and senior research fellow at the Heritage Foundation Center for National Defense. Then another updated report for this past year, 2022, came out of the Heritage Foundation. The Heritage Foundation said, with aging equipment, speaking of the U.S. military, with aging equipment, lack of adequate funding, and limited production capabilities, the U.S. military is ranked marginal at best again. That's the conclusion of the 2022 Index of U.S. Military Strength by the Heritage Foundation. Not good news, is it? Not at all. Not encouraging news at all. The Wall Street Journal, just a week ago, March the 7th, 2023, had a headline, "The U.S. is not ready for a great power conflict." Lieutenant General Hinault of the Pentagon observed in a recent simulated war game regarding the protection of Taiwan that China's well-stocked missile force had rained down on the bases and ports of the United States that we relied on in the region, turning combat aircraft and munitions into smoldering ruins in just days. War game showing utter defeat in the Pacific of the American forces. The New Yorker magazine, February of 2022, declared this, and you'll see this on the overhead. Russia and China unveiled a pact against America and the West. In a sweeping long-term agreement, Vladimir Putin and Xi Jinping, the two most powerful autocrats, challenged the current political and military order. Russia's Vladimir Putin and China's Xi Jinping last week declared a new era in the global order, and at least in the short term, endorsed their respective territorial ambitions in Ukraine and in Taiwan. Do you hear that? They're saying, we're going to help each other. They went on to say, friendship between the two states has no limits. There are no forbidden areas of cooperation in this new pact that they've made together. Not encouraging news at all, is it? ABC News in February 2023, Russia suspends only remaining major nuclear treaty with the United States. The Wall Street Journal, March 2023, war in the Middle East is closer than you think. Iran's inexorable march toward nuclear weapons, combined with its deepening partnership with Russia, is driving the Middle East steadily closer to a war that is likely to engage the United States. Mr. Putin could force Israel into a preemptive strike that would set off a regional war. Other news reports indicate that Iran is just inches close to having a nuclear weapon as they unite, as Iran unites with Russia and China. Then again, February of 2023, various news agencies report U.S. patrol aircraft intercepted by Chinese fighter jet. The U.S. Navy P-8 Poseidon was flying 21,500 feet over the South China Sea. When the pilot saw a Chinese jet with a red star on the tail fins and the missiles it was armed with, the Chinese jet, which settled just a few hundred feet from the wing of the U.S. aircraft, escorted it for 15 minutes before turning away. China claims virtually all the entire South China Sea, strongly objects to military activity by other nations in the contested waterway through which $5 trillion in goods are shipped through this waterway every year. Other news reports, Reuters, January 2023, Israel appears to have been behind the drone strike in Iran, on Iran's military factory, officials say. The world would seem to be leaving a relative time of peace and stability. The world would seem to be moving toward a world of aggressive, warlike moves by major nations like Iran and China and Russia. On a national level, over the last couple of weeks, perhaps you've heard some of the newscasters make comments that they have voiced concerns about a potential World War III if the war for Ukraine with Russia is escalated to a point that could bring about other events in the world. There does seem, doesn't it, to be a loss of peace in the world that we once knew. Jesus reminds all of us in Luke 21 and 28, He said, "Now when these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws nigh." When you see all of this going on, remember what matters. Look up, because He's promised us that He's going to take us home with Him. That's the rapture of the church. You know, on a personal level, many people long for peace in their own individual lives. Even if the nations weren't at war, there would still be folks that are on edge because of battles regarding finances or health, battles regarding family members, or conflict that's fractured relationships. That there's this gnawing sense in so many people's souls that every day that they live without a sense of inner tranquility and peace in their lives. I grew up in a home, as most of you know, with an alcoholic father. If Dad was drinking, there was no peace in my home at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. There was only tension and fear anticipating his violent beating of my mother. Most folks at the end of a hectic day, they find relief when they get to go home. For me, it was just the opposite. I felt relief when I got to leave. Maybe some of you battle situations like that. Maybe you're in the midst of a personal war or conflict that seems to just go on and go on and go on, and you long for peace in your life. You long for a sense of calm. You long for rest. Our scripture text is found in Numbers 6 and 24, are the words that the Lord spoke to Moses, giving direction for the manner of blessing of the children of Israel. Look at these words with me. "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace." Oh, the Lord give you peace. Note the phrasing here. Note that the kind of peace, it's not just by human achievement. It is a gift from God. The Lord give you peace. It's the peace of God that we need. Jesus said His disciples during the Last Supper, the other scripture text we make reference to today in John 14 and 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace." It's personal, isn't it? Jesus is saying, "My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Listen to those words. "My peace," He's saying, "I give to you." It's supernatural peace, isn't it? It comes from Jesus. It's supernatural. There was the peace inside of Jesus that kept Him in control of Himself when He's standing before a hostile crowd and standing before Pilate, when He was standing and hearing lies spoken against Him. It was the peace that was in Him that sustained Him as He stumbled, attempting to carry that cross to Golgotha. It was the crowd yelling disdain for Him, the soldiers nailing Him to that instrument of torture, the cross. And yet it was His peace. Oh, it was His peace that He held on to in the midst of all that He went through for you and for me. There's a promise. There's a promise from God to us now today. The Apostle Paul wrote it in Philippians. It's Philippians 4 and 7. "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding." We can't begin to imagine the peace of God. That's what it's saying. "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts." We need that. "Will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. What a great promise that Scripture is to us. By the way, you notice it says the peace of God, doesn't it? The peace of God. There's a difference between having peace with God and having the peace of God. See, we become at peace with God when we get saved, when we're born again, when we know Him as our Savior. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When we confess Christ as our Lord and Savior, we confess our sins to Him and He comes into our hearts and He reigns with us as Lord and Savior, then we have peace with God. Amen. We praise God for that peace. But the peace of God, the peace of God is a little different than having peace with God. The peace of God goes beyond our mental comprehension. It's more than just having a good day. You can be living somewhere in the middle of a terrible drought or terrible situation and still be the happiest person on the planet because you possess the peace of God. The peace of God is in your heart and in your life. The peace of God enables you to rise above all that's going on around you and to feel His presence and His love in your heart. It's not a peace that's the absence of frustration, because I don't know that in this life there'll ever be a long period of time where we're just totally free from frustration or anxiety or turbulence or fear or worry. It's like having a peace of heaven poured down inside of us. And God wants us to enjoy that kind of blessing of His peace in us right now, here, today. He wants you to have that today. And He's promised you and me that peace. His peace, the peace of God, that deep sense. Hear me today. It's that deep sense that God is indeed in charge of my life. That God is indeed in charge of this nation. He's in charge of this world. He's in charge of the universe. He's still in control. And the peace of God, He's saying to us, I want to be with you at all times because I love you. I want to be with you no matter where you are or what you're doing or what circumstances you're in. I will lead you, if you'll listen and follow me, I will lead you in the path of my peace. Now the problem is this, we know the problem. The problem is there's somebody working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to cheat us and to rob us of His supernatural peace. Satan especially likes to rob our hearts of His peace. In fact, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 14 and 30, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Medical science keeps discovering year after year this truth, what the Bible has known all along, what God has told us all along, that stress and discord are not good for us physically. Our mental weariness and uncertainty and worry and stress in us is not good for us physically. Our whole body physically and emotionally can be thrown off balance, can it? We've all experienced that. Maybe some of you are going through that here this morning because there's a lack of peace in your heart. That's exactly, by the way, what the enemy of our soul wants. That's what the devil wants. He makes accusations. He stirs up animosity. He floods our minds with anxiety. He pollutes our thoughts with garbage if we're not careful. But I'm going to tell you this morning, with God's help, we can reclaim the peace that God wants to give us. So let me show you very quickly four ways we can do that. First of all, resist accusations. One of Satan's names in the Bible is the accuser of our brothers and sisters. He's definitely that, isn't he? He loves to bring up our failures. He loves to bring up our past. He loves to bring up our prior sins and mistakes. He'll whisper, I know what you did 10 years ago. It was terrible. But the Bible tells us and gives us hope. In Philippians 4 and 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. When he begins to accuse us, just begin rejoicing that Jesus has forgiven us our sins, that we're part of the family of God. And by the way, when Satan begins to accuse us, God looks down and he says, what sins? He says, I'm looking at the ledger. And there are no transgressions, because the price has been paid by my Son on the cross and by His shed blood. Colossians tells us to present you holy in His sight, without blemish, listen to this last part, and free from accusation. God looks down, and the blood of Jesus has forever wiped away our sins. And when Satan begins to bring it up, just tell him to shut up, because we know the truth. Because God has forgiven us, God has redeemed us, and by the blood of Jesus, our sins are no longer remembered against us. In fact, Paul wrote in his letter to the church in Rome, he says, "The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet." What a great triumph that means for you and for me. So we've got to resist accusations. And secondly, we've got to resolve animosity. Satan loves to rob us of our peace by stirring up bad feelings between folks, creating conflict and misunderstanding. He loves that. Something is said or something is done or perceived. Before you know it, folks start nursing a grudge. They begin to brood about an offense, what somebody done or said. They'll say things, "Well, I just can't believe he said that. I can't believe she acted that way." Before you know it, there's this animosity that's draining our peace, and Satan loves it. Philippians, Paul dealt with this in Philippians the 4th chapter, verse 2 and 3. He said, "I plead with Euodia and with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, I ask you, my true companion, help these women." What was Paul saying? These two women were in conflict. These two women had a misunderstanding. They were full of animosity toward one another. Wouldn't you hate it? Wouldn't you just hate it if the only time your name is mentioned in the Bible for thousands of years was while you were in a conflict with somebody else in the church? Wouldn't that be embarrassing? By the way, these weren't new Christians. They weren't like new believers, because Paul said they had contended at my side in the cause of the gospel. They had been workers in the church with Paul, and now they're having a fight. And Paul's concerned about it. He's writing about it in the Word of God in this book that we have just read. Jesus, if we're listening carefully, He urges us to take the initiative when we're at crossways with somebody else. Y'all know this verse. Look at this verse with me. Matthew 5, 23 and 24. "If you are offering your gift at the altar and remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your gift. What good is your song or your praise or your gift or your fancy prayers if you're mad at somebody?" Some folks say, "Oh, I couldn't just get up and go to somebody like that. I'm just not that type." Well, if that's what you're saying, you're the unbiblical type. Amen? If that's what you're saying, you're the unbiblical type, because God makes it very clear. He wants us to get peace back in our relationships. So if you go to somebody that you have some conflict with, and you try to make things right with them, and you might even think it's your fault, but going to them is still the right thing to do, you understand? So you go to them to try to resolve everything. Basically, they just kind of look at you and tell you to get lost. They're not receptive to your efforts. Then I want to just tell you that you can still arrive at peace through a different route. Because then you just hand that situation over to the Lord. And you know in your heart you've done all that God has asked you to do to make things right. In fact, Romans 12 and 18 says, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." As long as it depends on you, if it's possible, live at peace with everyone. So our job is to have the right spirit. It's a spirit of reconciliation, not of animosity. So we talked about resist accusations, resolve animosity, and the third thing we've got to do is release anxiety. Does anybody ever worry too much? You ever find yourself waking up in the middle of the night and something just won't leave your mind, and it's just there, and it's just like a drum beat. It just stays there, and it's there, and you can't sleep. It just keeps going and going. It's like a film that won't stop. It's going off in your head. Satan wants to steal our peace by flooding our minds and our hearts with anxiety. Philippians 4 and 6 declares, do not be anxious about anything. Y'all know the Bible said that. Y'all know the Word of God. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Take it to Jesus. Take it to the Lord. Begin to just tell Him about it. We take that weight. We take that worry that's bearing down on us, and we give it to the Lord. And you think about it. When we're doing that, there's an actual transfer from our minds and hearts to God. We say, God, I'm letting go of this nonsense in my mind and my heart. I'm leaving my anxiety, my worry, my fear. I'm leaving at the feet of Jesus, and I'm counting on You to give me Your supernatural peace in this situation. There was a great Methodist missionary back in the 1940s. His name was Stanley Jones. Look at these words that he wrote in his personal diary. Worry is atheism. He wrote, a person who worries says, I cannot trust God. Uh-oh. Did y'all hear that? It's quiet in here. A person who worries says, I cannot trust God. I'll have to take things into my own hands. Result, worry, frustration, incapacity to meet the dreaded thing when it does come. Faith says, God does care, and He and I will work it out together. Well, that's faith, isn't it? We have that kind of faith. We're not going to allow that kind of worry to dominate our minds. If we truly release our anxieties, our worries to the Lord, then the peace of God, which the Bible says transcends all understanding, we read this earlier, will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He's going to guard us. We just give it to Him and just claim that promise. What a great promise that is, by the way. And finally, the thing we've got to do is renew our mental atmosphere. Our mental atmosphere. The devil loves to fill our minds with garbage. He loves to contaminate our thinking until we can't think straight. He loves to get us into that state of mind. Oh, he'll use all the daily noise of life to get us off track. He'll use the surrounding events in the news, in our culture, and all that's going on around us. He'll use all that stuff to get us off the right track and on the wrong track and thinking the wrong way. And it becomes a mental atmosphere of worry and fear and depression. And if we don't know, before long, it becomes an atmosphere of defeat. There's a sense of defeat. That is not the will of God for us. That's not having the mind of Christ. And you know this next scripture in Philippians 4, 8, 9. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. We forget that sometimes, don't we? And with all the stuff that's going around us, the Bible says, well, just stop. Stop that and think about what is noble and good and lovely, what's a good report and virtuous. Think about the promises of God. Meditate on anything praiseworthy. Meditate on these things, and the God of peace will be with you. What a great promise that is when we're full of worry. We think on these things. What we're thinking about, that's the gate the enemy comes through, the gate of our mind to get us thinking on all the wrong stuff. And the Lord is saying, think on the right stuff. We tell Satan, we tell him, just get your garbage out of here. In the Word of God, Isaiah wrote in 26 verse 3, you, God, will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is what? Stayed on You, because he trusts in You. I'm keeping my mind on the Lord. I'm keeping my mind on what He's promised. I'm keeping my thinking on what He has said, not the lies of the enemy. My mind is stayed on God and His promises and His Word, and we can have that, and it'll give us His peace. Hey, praise God. So in conclusion this morning, supernatural peace, perfect peace, is that promise that God wants to bring us. It is part of His blessing for our individual lives. It is God's will for you and for me. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and 9, blessed are the peacemakers. You know who that is? You know who that is? That's you and me, isn't it? It is, isn't it? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Because we belong to the one who created peace, who gives supernatural peace, who gives us a life of peace, then the Word of God is declaring that you and I are to be peacemakers. Or another phrase would be peace speakers. Peace speakers. A sparrow was having a conversation with a wild dove. And the sparrow said to the dove, Tell me the weight of a snowflake. Well, nothing more than nothing, answered the dove. In that case, I must tell you a marvelous story, the sparrow said. I sat on the branch of a fir tree close to its trunk when it began to snow. Not heavily, not in a raging blizzard. No, it was snowing just like in a dream, without sound, without any violence. And since I didn't have anything better to do, I counted the snowflakes settling on the twigs and the needles of my branch. Their number was exactly 3,741,952. When the 3,741,953rd snowflake dropped on the branch, nothing more than nothing, the branch broke off. Having said that, the sparrow then flew away. Well, the dove, somewhat of an authority on just about everything since Noah's time, he thought about the story for a while, and finally the dove said, "Perhaps only one person's voice is lacking for peace to come into the heart of men. Perhaps it's been said again and again, but perhaps maybe you're that one voice that can bring peace to a troubled friend. Maybe you're that one voice that can speak peace into a situation and a solution that's tearing apart a marriage or a family. Perhaps you hold the answer to a competitive, territorial, jealous force within your neighborhood or your family or your company. If you know the peacemaker, if you know the peace speaker, he's producing in you the fruit of the Spirit called peace. And he puts his peace in us to enable you and I to share that peace with others. Your love, your act of kindness, your gentle words may seem like nothing more than the weight of a snowflake. The word you say may seem like nothing more than nothing, but at just the right time, it might bring the peace of Jesus to a heart in need. Sherry and Mike, would y'all come on up? That verse that we looked at earlier that Jesus gave, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you." You remember the story on the Sea of Galilee, and the sea is raging, the storm is blowing, and Jesus just spoke the word, and peace came. He's the peace speaker today. He still is the peace speaker. What a great promise we have. Sherry is going to sing this song, "The Peace Speaker." And Mike is going to do the illustration with sign language. Go ahead, Angela. We're ready for that.
Just a minute. I've been interpreting since 1972, and I try to imagine what it would be like if I could not hear music or hear the piano. But deaf people enjoy praise and worship also. They do it from reading lips. They do it from the sign language. They do it from written word, or they experience it through expressions. I want y'all to experience the way a deaf person would enter into worship, and through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. It was such a lovely day. The sun was shining bright. The gentle breeze was blowing my way. Not a storm cloud in sight. Then suddenly, with a
aren't you glad you know the peace speaker today? Aren't you glad you know Jesus? He is real peace, isn't He? There is no peace without Christ. Would you please stand with us? We'll go to the Lord and give thanks today for this beautiful day of worship at Heritage Church. Thank you for being with us. And again, first-time guest and returning guest, it's an honor to have you. And Zena Lungu, Zena, it's so good for you to come and be with us. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you for being with us. God loves for us to feel His presence, doesn't He? He loves for us to come and gather and have the Holy Spirit just open and pour our hearts and remind us of His love and to give us His peace. Aren't you thankful for that today? I'm so thankful for that. God bless you. Thank you for being with us. I want to ask Anthony Warren. Anthony, would you please close us out in prayer today, sir?